You're listening to The Audit, presented by IT Audit Labs.
Dennis, thanks for coming back. Welcome back to The Audit by IT Audit Labs. Today, yeah. Joining us, we've got Nick Mellum and Scott Rizdahl.
Hey, all.
Today, we're talking with Dennis Pelton about some hardware hacking. And Dennis, you and I ran into each other at Wild West Hacking Fest over the summer. And you were giving a presentation on wireless for noobs, if I recall. And you did a previous episode with us on that. And we thought we were going to cover both those things in one episode, but we had a great conversation there and kind of ran out of time. So we thought, let's dedicate the whole episode to hardware hacking. And you've got a business card unlike anybody else. You've got, from what I understand, an encrypted version of your resume on this chip on the card.
Yeah, yeah.
How cool is that?
Did you follow the, because there's a QR code on the back. Did you follow that or anything? Or?
I did not. I should, though.
So, it basically explains kind of what you were just talking about, that on the card is a chip, and on the chip is a encrypted copy of my resume. And so it's kind of a series of challenges, really. And it's challenge number one is get the data off the chip. There's a number of different ways you can go about it. I've heard stories from other people of how they were able to get it off, and it's like each person tells me something new. Even ways I hadn't even thought of in the past, where I'm like, oh, actually, that's a rad way to do it. I never thought about that. But once you get the data off, it's encrypted. So you have to determine what kind of encryption was used and how you can break that encryption. And if you take the time to do all that, there's my resume, but there's also kind of a cover letter with congratulations for solving this. You are exactly the type of person that I want to work with, the type of person who kind of has the drive and motivation to do all of this just for the sheer fun of it. There's no reward. It's just, you're just doing it because you want to learn new things. And so I thought that was kind of a fun way to, kind of get that message out there of like, look, I'm looking to work someplace fun. I want to work someplace that's cool, that really has people that just want to do these things just to learn. And so, I don't know, that was kind of the inspiration for me on making these, was I thought, what's something kind of fun that I could give out to people? Because most business cards, you get it and you go, okay, cool, maybe you bring it home, but then it ends up in a garbage can. Yeah. Something like this, I figured, that's probably not going to end up in a garbage can. maybe some of them will, I don't know. But
I tell you, Dennis, since I met you at Black Hills, I've had this in my bag, and I can't tell you how many vendor cards have gone in the bag and gone right out of the bag.
Yep.
But this is stuck around. It's cool. I've showed this to a few different people, and it certainly is a neat concept.
Yeah, thanks. Honestly, they were a lot of fun to build. I probably should do another revision of it or something these days. But
when you're building it, how many are you building at a time? Do you have 20, 50, 5?
I think I originally bought 30. And then I think I actually built like 10 of them for the first conference I went to. I ended up passing them all out, went home and built the other 20. And then now, anytime I go to a conference, I'll usually reflash the chip with a new updated version of my resume. So I have to kind of, it's the one unfortunate thing about the card is I have to kind of keep updating it as time goes on. But, I figure by the time people solve it, my resume might change anyway. But whatever, they can find me on LinkedIn or something like that for the most recent. I don't know.
So what's the process that you go through to build these? Was this the first iteration, or did you have a few prototypes before it?
So this was actually the very first one I did, but I had built kind of other, puzzle-y type things in the past. Oh, man. Yeah, this is old school right here. This was like the very first revision that I did, where it was just like a little keychain. And, it just said rot13labs.com, and it had the little chip on there, and the chip had some puzzles on it. And it wasn't quite the same thing, but, it was similar. And then then I ended up switching up the keychain and doing a little differently than that, but kind of similar. And then I think that's about when I did that one. And then for DEF CON last year, I did I did these keychains that looked like little sticks of RAM.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
And so really it's cool. It's got the four chips on there, and these on the back, it looks kind of similar to the business card. On these ones, it was something where the first chip was unencrypted, but the rest of the chips were encrypted. And so you'd have to solve the puzzles on the first one to get the decryption key for the second one. And then solving those puzzles would get you the decryption key for the third and the fourth and so on. So it's kind of like you had to progress through the, you know, through the keychain. So I don't know. I always try to make some fun stuff like that to pass out at DEF CON, because I feel like, you know, if you meet someone for the first time at DEF CON and you're able to just be like, oh, here's something cool for you to play with later. It's yeah. like, you know, you've already met a friend right there. They're going to like you, and they're going to chat with you, and, you know.
It leads to more work, I would assume, right, in that sense.
Hopefully. It could lead to work, but more often than not, it just leads to meeting a new friend kind of thing.
There you go. So this is good.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I think I made a couple hundred of them. And that's same with the other keychains I did. This was kind of the final product of that keychain, where it has a little LED up there at the top. So when you make a successful connection to that chip, the LED would light up.
Oh, neat.
But
well, I think for me, the question that keeps hitting me in the head is, how did you decide to do this? Or do you have like insomnia at night and you just are like, wow, I should build the coolest business card ever? Or what's the thought process behind that?
So it's it was actually, let me think here. It was the DEF CON the year that COVID hit, and it was all from home.
Yep.
And it's something where that year I was like, well, I can't go to DEF CON this year. And DEF CON was really where I go to kind of learn new things and stuff like that. And so I was like, well, I'm going to do something for myself then. I'm just going to take those days off of work and I'm going to learn something nerdy on my own. And I don't even remember what kind of originally inspired it, but I said, you know, I'm going to learn how to make hardware. That's going to be my thing. And so I just started studying like crazy. I started downloading like the programs to actually start building boards. And, you know, I just started kind of ordering things and being like, well, either this is going to work or it isn't. And either way, I'm going to learn something out of the deal. So it's like each one I built after that, it started getting a little more complex and like, you know, building out a little further. And, you know, there's plenty of boards where I ordered it. It waited the 2 weeks or whatever. It came and it totally didn't work. And it's like, well, OK, what did I do wrong? Well, start going over everything. And I don't know, just it learned a little bit more from each one.
Yeah, no, that's really fun. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you do any of the badge challenges at DEF CON?
You mean like building badges, or you mean like the actual?
Yeah, with the actual DEF CON badge, you know, do you try to go through the puzzles? Yeah,
I do. Yeah. So I've got a thing over there with all my DEF CON puzzles on and all the different badges. And I usually end up buying a lot of the aftermarket badges, too, like the ones makers make. And then actually, you probably remember this one. I made these for Wild West Hacking Fest.
Oh, cool. Yep.
Cool. So with this one, I know I brought a battery over here somewhere. So this one, it's when it lights up, the LEDs on the front, they're actually not wired up to like LED pins. They're actually tapping into the kind of GPIO on there that's meant for outputs. So it's just spitting out kind of random output, which sets the LEDs to random colors, and it kind of shifts them ever so often. But then on the back is one of those ESP8266 chips that does like Wi-Fi and stuff. And so it's broadcasting out a Wi-Fi network. You can actually log into the badge and do a lot of the hacks that I talked about during that, the Wi-Fi hacking for noobs. You can do those attacks from the badge.
Oh, how cool is that?
So I thought that was a really fitting kind of thing to bring to that conference.
Did you have a hard time getting those chips coming out of the pandemic?
You know, it's funny. Those ones I haven't really had much of a problem getting. And granted, the main brand that makes those, I think they're called AI Thinker. Those ones, I don't see them very often. But I'm kind of like, you know, I haven't been burned by the knockoffs yet. So I just buy the knockoff ones, but you can seem to find them pretty much everywhere. And the pricing really hasn't gotten too absurd on them yet. But I don't know. Maybe that'll change as more people learn.
what do you have that makes the form, like the form of the that sheriff's star that you have on that Wild West badge?
Yeah, so I use it's called Easy EDA, and it's actually a like an EDA program developed by JLC PCB. So they're kind of tightly linked in that way, but you can still export as Gerber and like buy them from elsewhere if you want. But if you buy them through JLC PCB, they do something where like if you built it in Easy EDA once a month, you get like an $8 off coupon or something like that. So basically it covers a prototype batch for free. You still have to pay shipping usually, but it's like, I get prototypes for free every month. Like, sure, I'll keep using this. But yeah, so I just build everything through them. And, you know, I know there's better programs out there, but I've gotten so good and so fast with Easy EDA, I just kind of stick with it.
Just do that.
I know I need to learn something else, but I don't know. I feel like it's hard to change once you've learned it so well.
In your free time, do you do puzzle rooms, escape rooms, things like that?
So I've never actually done one. Like, I want, because I'm like, it sounds right up my alley. Like, I feel like I need to be doing these, but I never have. And I've only done those, what are they called, like the Hunt a Killer or something like that, where it's like the board games, that there's a killer and you look through all the evidence. I did one of those like once, and it was a blast. I had a great time, but yeah, I don't know. I need to like get out more, I think.
I saw they had at one of the hotels at Wild West last year, they did have an escape room, but it was like only open on Saturday afternoon or something like that. We might be able to get a group together this year and do just kind of a couple private rooms. And I think they had an escape room put on by the conference as well up on the third floor that you just had to sign up for in advance. Yeah.
Huh. Okay. I may need to look in that for next year.
Yeah.
Are you definitely going this year?
Yeah,
that's the plan. Yeah. No. I mean, I had a blast there. Unless there is some major reason why I can't go, I will definitely be there.
What other conferences will you do?
So I did Shmoo already this year. I'm doing B-Sides Tampa, which, yeah, I've got something to show you for that one too. Let's see here. So I'm on the wait list for tickets to ThoughtCon, but
in Chicago,
closer. Yeah, it's getting closer and I haven't heard back. So I'm kind of like, maybe that one's not going to happen. Yeah. I mean, really DEF CON and Wild West are kind of the two main ones that I'm really gunning for.
Yeah. But I think we were trying to get to ThoughtCon as well. And I know I'm on the wait list too. And Scott, I think you were trying to get a ticket too. I don't know if you got one yet or not, but yeah, it seems that one, I saw it a couple months ago. It's like, I need to get that ticket. And then a couple months later, they were all gone. I was like, drag.
Yes, that's exactly what happened to me, is I kept being like, I need to figure that out. And then all of a sudden, it was just they were gone. And I'm like, oh, well, okay. So I don't know. We'll see. Oh, okay. Yeah. So for B-Sides, Nick and I were talking earlier, and he was saying this is probably going to be aired after B-Sides actually happens, which is in April 1st. So, no one's supposed to know about this yet, but I figure if it's going to be aired afterwards, it's okay.
But yeah, absolutely.
So I'm making the main badge for them, like the attendee badge, speaker badge, all that kind of stuff. And it's really just a PCB art. So it doesn't actually do anything. There's no electronics on it. It's just the art badge for now. Next year, we're going to try to do an electronic badge. But for now, it's just the art. But for winners of the badge challenge and for a couple of like select staff members and things like that, I made these right here, which is called the
Uber badge. That's cool.
And then when you turn it on, it's got blue eyes to initialize, and then it will go to kind of barely see it there, but the eyes turn different colors and it'll slowly shift through colors as time goes on. But if there's a de-auth attack that happens, the eyes will turn red and they'll kind of slowly pulse red while the de-auth attack is going on. So cool. And as soon as it detects it stops, then it goes back to the just kind of cycling through.
That is cool.
Yeah, so it's kind of a similar design to those other ones where it uses that ESP8266 and stuff like that. And there's, so there's different flash and reset badge buttons on here so that you can actually like hack the badge and put whatever else you want on there. have it do something else if you wanted to. So.
And then it looks like you've got the sponsors on the back too there.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a whole lot of sponsors. It was difficult to fit them all on here. So
these badges are really turning into being like an Olympic medal, you know, like if you win that, how cool is it to try to win something and get that and like put it on your wall, right? That's awesome to have.
Exactly.
Like a medal of honor, know? Badge of honor.
Yeah. So I'm doing those. And then right now, sadly, the boards don't actually come for a few more days, but I've got kind of a little prototype that I've been building out over here. Have you guys ever heard of like a ham radio fox hunt?
I don't think so.
No.
So what they do is they'll take a transmitter that will play a little, like, usually like a 15-second tune, and then it kind of identifies itself as a fox, and it will just transmit that every, you know, 15 to 30 seconds, and you hide it somewhere in the city. And then people use directional antennas and, like, attenuators and things like that to locate the fox based on the signal that it's broadcasting.
Sure.
So I've made a handful of foxes that are little PCBs. They're actually shaped like foxes, which I thought was kind of funny. And I'm planning on hiding those around B-sides and just telling people, if you find it, you get to keep it. And I figure that's kind of a fun little twist on it, because usually foxes are, you know, like $100 or something like that usually. And it's like, you know, it's kind of a fun little thing to just hack and play with.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of a fun little idea. So
we'll see. Have you participated in those before?
So I've never actually done one. I'm like so intrigued by them, and I don't know where any of them are happening. So I'm like, if I just start like throwing fox hunts, I'm sure I will meet people who like them and be able to do one myself. But for now, I've just been like doing tons of research and being like, am I doing this right? I hope so. We'll find out.
What a neat concept. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that should be fun. I don't know.
That might be cool for death.
Well, so that's the plan, is at DEF CON. This is kind of my trial run. For DEF CON, I've contacted a couple of artists who work in InfoSec. And the idea is to get a couple of different artists to make like special limited edition like art ones. So I'm trying to get some art from them on like Fox. So I was telling them, like, you know, the idea that I had was do, you know, like maybe one that was space themed and we could call it Star Fox. One that's like call it Firefox. Yes. Stupid stuff like that. That was funny.
64.
Yeah. You know, and I figured if we do a couple of those and make these really like limited ones and then just hide them all over Vegas, like, you know, I'm sure people would go nuts finding those.
That does sound cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. And then I don't know why, but at DEF CON, I always see kids and they always seem so bored. Like, you know, these kids are, you know, some of them, I'm sure they're having a great time, but they always just look so bored whenever I see them there. So I thought of an idea where I wanted to make these badges of like an ESP8266, but gigantic, to make it easier for like small hands to experiment with and play with. And it actually works. So, you know, these are all wired up to these various pins with kind of the little pull ups and pull downs on the back. And so I'm going to try to make a ton of these. And anytime I see a kid at DEF CON, I'm just going to go up and hand it to him. Like, here, this is for you. Play with it. Learn it.
That is
cool. You know, just for something kind of fun. I don't know. So yeah, I brought a handful of those to Shmoo just to get like some feedback on them. And I think I was charging like $20 for them and just told people, like, look, I'm just trying to make my money back on these to get a prototype out here so that I can give them away for free at DEF CON. So
what a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I feel like I'm constantly like coming up with all these new ideas, and I'm like, when do I have time to do all this? So I don't know.
Is it getting faster for you now to make the badge once you've come up with the idea?
Yes, definitely. So once I had this Fox circuit done, like once I kind of figured it all out as far as what pins need to go where, and really the firmware was what took the most time. I'm one of those people where like if you show me code, I can modify it to do what I want very easily, but writing from scratch, I'm not great with. So I had to kind of search around, find some projects doing something close to what I wanted, and I was able to easily kind of modify it from there and get it to work. But once I had that done, building out the Fox-shaped PCB with all the parts where I needed them to go and all the routing on there, I think that took, you know, a few hours, and that was it. Yeah, it's not too bad.
Are you in the Tampa area yourself?
I'm a little further north. I'm up in Gainesville.
Oh, so, yeah.
Power drive.
Do you have the concept of the maker spaces there, where you know, people come in and they collaborate on kind of a shared use set of equipment?
Yeah, so we do have one here, but sadly, it's like on the far other side of town from me. Like, I'm kind of on the east of town, and it's really on the other side, so I never actually make it there. Like, I'm really sad that I don't. I wish I could get there more often, but I never end up going.
So here in the Twin Cities, they've got I think a couple of those maker spaces, but one in particular hosts the Open Lock Sport group, where the lock sport people come in, and I think it's like the first Thursday of the month, something like that. And if you're experienced or inexperienced, it doesn't matter. They've got a pretty good group of people there that will give you the picks if you want them, or if you have your own, they can show you some more complex things. But I bring it up because that space sometimes does some interesting things, and a badge making workshop would be an awesome idea for a space like that, where people could come in and maybe learn the basics of how to make one of these.
Yeah, and honestly, I've had a couple people ask me about doing like a demonstration at DEF CON or something like that. So I would like to. It's kind of one of those, like, if I can find the time to make a, you know, a short presentation on like my process, because I know everybody kind of does it a little differently. But that is definitely a goal of mine to go out and do something like that. And then at B-Sides, that's another thing that we had kind of talked about, but I kind of got in touch with them a little too late for this year. But they would like to do a kind of hardware hacking village at B-Sides.
Oh, yeah.
And so we've talked about kind of, you know, what that might entail and things like that. And I've got a bunch of like little bad USB kits to build your own bad USB. I've got probably about 100 of them, so just sitting around. And I'm like, hey, you know, I'm happy to donate these to the conference, and, you know, we can have people build these if they want to. But it's just kind of like getting it all organized is really going to take some time. So we figured, okay, maybe for next year we'll have kind of all that in place to do it.
And maybe Wild West too would be a good place for that.
That's actually true. That probably wouldn't be a bad idea either.
Yeah,
I've got like probably about 100 or so of the kits to build your own, and then I think I've got about 60 or so of like still packaged ones that just are pre-made. So we had talked about kind of what to do with those too. Like a buddy of mine and I, we were talking about, you know, maybe buying a bunch of rubber ducks, like little mini rubber ducks in bulk on Amazon, and kind of installing them in there. So it's a little rubber ducky that has the USB coming out of him, and then just like hiding them around DEF CON for people to like find and see if they plug them in. I don't know. It's all this hardware that I've built, and I'm just like, I don't really know what to do with this now. Like, I should probably sell it, but I don't know.
I find it hard to believe that people at DEF CON would pick up a rubber ducky and actually plug it into their machine.
Well, so that was the idea, was like, if we made the code on it, just execute something that hits a website so we can get a counter of how many people actually plugged it in.
Exactly. Because I don't know if you've seen the pictures online or wherever, but people put like a little USB like in the wall, right? Like in a brick wall, and they like cement around it. You're supposed to just go up with your computer and just like kind of stand there. Like, who would actually plug into this thing? But it's a cool idea, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know.
I like the rubber ducky idea.
At airports, you see those tables where it's just like a row of USBs for people to plug their laptops into to charge. And every time I see it, I kind of go look at it, and I'm like, man, it would be so easy to convert that to be a rubber ducky. But it's like, guys, please don't do this. Like, so, yep. I don't know. Like, it's the stuff that you learn as you learn how easy it is to make all this stuff.
Did you go to the car hacking village or look at any of that sort of hardware hacking stuff at DEF CON?
Yeah, honestly, a lot of my time is usually spent in the hardware hacking village, but the car hacking has a lot of fun stuff there. Like, I feel like I haven't done even, I barely scratched the surface, basically, of the stuff they have there, but yeah, I don't know. I feel like they do some really cool stuff there, and I'm always interested to like stick around and learn a little bit more.
The voting machine village was pretty cool too, where they had the voting machines torn open. You could see the insides. Yes. That was neat.
Yeah, I know. Every time I see those there, I kind of think to myself, I'm like, man, I wonder if I can get my hands on one of these. Like not from them, but like, you know, find one on eBay like they do or whatever.
Sure.
It's like, I don't want to mess with theirs, but I would love to take one of those apart and be able to actually, you know, really go to town on it. And, you know, I'd probably break it, but it's like the stuff I'd learn in the in-between time would be amazing, I bet.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, I've heard horror stories about how those things are built and maintained.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine.
But, yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any other... Yeah, I don't know. I've got so many projects going on. I recently picked up... It's everything that you need for building a Wi-Fi adapter. So there's, you know, you can possibly see it on there. It's so small, but it accepts, you know, basically just the USB inputs. So, you know, power, ground, and then data in, data out. And then it gives you a antenna port, and that's essentially it. So I've been looking into the idea of like building my own, you know, wireless adapters lately, see if that was something I could do. And I got one working. But the problem I've hit now is that a lot of these chips that they make in that type of format are for Windows only. And it's like, if I'm going to make something, I want it to be usable by anybody. You know, even if it was just like Windows and Linux, that would be better than nothing. But I use Mac at home, so I'm like, I want something I can use too.
What frequency is it on?
Let's see here. So they're BGN, I believe, is what they support. So
it's, okay. Oh.
Yeah. But like I said, this one here is the it's the Realtek 8188 chip. But I ordered a couple different chips of them to test them out. And yeah, like I said, you know, I got it working, but it's like if it only works for Windows, then so actually I think this was one of my so I made it in the shape of dick butt because it just seemed kind of like a funny thing to do.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, so on the back here you can see like I had to kind of. Like right now it's got two different capacitors on there going into it, but it seems like it's still just not quite getting enough power for the boot up on it.
Sure.
So I had to take an external power supply and kind of touch it to it to get started. And then once the chip comes on, it's able to run. So I'm like, okay, well now I got to figure out how to get this thing a little extra oomph of power for a start. Yeah. So it's kind of one of those situations where I'm like, well, okay, you know, someone has solved this problem. I'm sure it's easy to solve. I just need to figure out what it is that I need for it. But I don't know. I feel like I need to find a better chip first. It's more universal for different for Mac and stuff like that.
Have you done much with the Ponagachis or doing any sort of e-ink screen?
So not the Ponagachis. Those I would love to play with. That one is definitely on my list of something. And I haven't done the e-ink screens, but I just recently started messing with screens more. So I made that Hackbutt badge last year for DEF CON with the it was a bad USB.
Yeah.
So I had this idea. I was like, well, it'd be kind of funny to make a Hackbutt again this year, but for Wi-Fi. So I've got a little screen on this guy here.
It
does essentially all the same stuff as that Wild West Hackenfest badge, but now you don't have to log into the badge to do it. You still can if you want to, but it's got kind of like various, you know, I mean, there's like a packet monitor on here and things like that. It's all the Spacehoon's ESP8266D author package.
Oh, yeah.
And then I kind of added a couple little modifications onto it. And so I just started kind of messing with screens a little bit. I've been working with Blue Team Village. I might be doing their badge this year.
Sweet.
So if I end up doing theirs, the idea that I have, if I can make it work, is going to be kind of a dual screen type thing. So again, it's all like if I can make it happen, especially like within the time limit and stuff like that. But yeah, I haven't done the e-ink ones yet. I've got a couple friends who work with them and they absolutely love them. But
yeah.
So
we're going to have to come find you. This year at DEF CON, get one of those badges. That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I should have a number of different things there at DEF CON, so I should be pretty easy to find. I don't know. I guess what is it, 30,000 people there?
What's your price range on those? Is around 100?
You know, I don't even know yet. If we do these ones, I mean, it'll definitely be less than 100, but I always try to price my badges pretty much as low as I can get them. Sure. Like to reasonably be. So something like this, I think the total bomb on this was around like $25. So it'll probably be like 40.
Oh, sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's very reasonable.
Yeah. You know, for me, it's like, I don't
probably really too reasonable.
Yeah, well, and that's why I'm like, you know, what can I reasonably do? Because I don't usually make a lot of money off the badges I do. In fact, a lot of the badges that I make, I usually just end up giving away for free anyway. Because for me, it's more of the hobby, the fun of it. And it's like, yeah. So the ones I do charge for, they pretty much just cover the cost of all the ones I give away. I don't know. Like, I would love to make a business out of it someday, but that's kind of out in the future, I guess.
Do people have a way of reordering the badge from you?
So last year I didn't do anything like that because I really wanted to be able to like actually meet the people and chat with them and things like that. But last year, a lot of my DEF CON was just spent like delivering badges and chatting with people about badges, and I didn't get to do much. So this year I would really like to do that. I haven't set up anything for it yet. It'll probably be on Tindy. I've got a buddy who's trying to start up a kind of a badge life shop specifically for like DEF CON badges and things like that. So if he ends up getting that up in time, I'll definitely be selling one there, but I need to kind of figure that side of it out.
Sure. That's cool. Yeah, so do we have anything else we were going to ask Dennis, Nick?
Well, I think that pretty much covers it. Unless Dennis, is there anything else cool that you, anything that's interesting to you, anything you'd like to jump into?
I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's any other badges I'm working on right now or weird electronics I'm trying to build.
Or are you a coffee guy, a bourbon guy? Like, do you have any vices like that?
Oh, man, both. honestly, like, beer is usually my big thing. I've got a huge collection of, like, stouts and stuff down here.
Oh, neat.
Age for, you know, as long as I can before I finally give up and say it's time to crack it open. But
you don't brew on your own at all, I take it?
No, I tried it for a bit and I realized, you know, these other people make them so much better and it would take years to get to that level. And I'm like, it's not.
Let them do it.
Yeah, you know.
That's how we feel with your badges. He's already doing it so good, let's let him do it.
It's a fun hobby, though. It's worth getting into. Sure.
Where's your favorite place to go for beer? Like, have you been to a particular part of the country that you think is pretty good?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. I mean, so we've got there's a local beer shop here called Tipples, and they their selection is just constantly changing, and it's amazing. Oh. So, like, for me, I usually just go down there and hang out with them for a bit, and they know my tastes at this point, so they'll, you know.
Yeah, they're regular. All kinds
of options. Yeah, so, you know, like, my wife calls it, everyone knows you in there. Everyone knows
your name.
You're like Norm. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, there's a bunch of us.
That's fun.
But, yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing else from me. Scott, I don't know if you have anything, but I had a list of things, and we already breezed through it.
Nice. Awesome. Well, Dennis, we'll look for you at DEF CON. I guess we'll be first before Wild West, but Wild West as well. And definitely want to meet up and have a beer at DEF CON.
Oh, hell yeah. I'd love to.
Dennis, if you can let all the listeners know where they can find you. Is there a Twitter where you hang out or LinkedIn?
Yeah. So I'm on Twitter and I'm on Mastodon.
Okay.
It's Cold Brew on both of them. But it's C0LDBRU. And I'm on InfoSec Exchange for Mastodon.
Well, Dennis, thanks a lot for your time today. Always cool hanging out with you. Learned a lot. Yeah,
thanks for having me again.
Want security leadership without the headcount? As an extension of the team, IT Audit Labs will provide the experts to guide and counsel your company. We will start by creating a custom security program that caters to your industry while providing transparency and remediation to improve cyber posture while reducing risk. Contact IT Audit Labs to find out more.